WFAN, WFAN FM, WFAN FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Geo coming to you live for the Built for Tough studio on the Fan and the free Odyssey app. You had the final Giants offseason Hard Knocks last night on Max, and it really wasn't much of anything. I feel like this was the slap on the back or the pat on the ass to the New York Giants for doing this. I think that's what this last episode was sort of a propaganda-filled, hey, it's the 100th season. Hey, they got their guys in the draft. Hey, everything is going to be great for the New York Giants and Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. So that's what it felt like to me. There was drama in the beginning of this series. This one, not so much. But, of course, they were very excited to get Malik Nabers. If there was anything that came out of it, it was that the Jets were on the phone with the Giants when the Giants were on the clock for pick number 6. And Joe Douglas was looking to trade up, seeing if the Giants were interested, which makes me think, what were the Jets looking for at that particular...
Malik Nabers. Why not?
Well, I mean, why not? I guess trading up,
maybe an offensive tackle, maybe? Well,
Alt just went the previous pick at 5. So I just wonder, saying you want to get Malik Nabers, or maybe they loved Rome Odunze or whomever, but it was interesting to see that Joe Douglas was one of the general managers, and Chris Ballard was another that was on the line. So it was Ballard and Douglas he took phone calls from.
Could have been one of those two wide receivers.
Yeah, could have been.
That's what I would have thought, simply because I think all three wide receivers are going to be really good, really good. And 3 years from now, we hear them screaming about new contracts.
Of course. And that's what Joe Douglas. That's what Joe Shane said, that when you get one of these guys, when you see the numbers that the wide receivers are getting, to have a guy who is cost-controlled for a few years, who has the potential to be one of the best in the league, it's a huge deal. I mean, not as much as the quarterback, and hitting on the quarterback, but close.
Well, I mean, the Brock Purdy thing is the perfect example
of
how you can win with somebody that was drafted in the 7th round, Mr. Irrelevant, not making any money, and then you could pay the Nick Bosa's of the world. You can't pay everybody, but you can pay Bosa, McCaffrey, Kittle, Deebo Samuel, Williams. They haven't been able to pay Ayuk yet, just yet.
Williams.
Well, I'm talking about Trent Williams.
Yeah, I know. I think that he's holding out as well.
He wants more money, yes.
Yeah.
But he had a longer-term contract.
Okay.
But he wants more guaranteed money.
Yeah. Don't we all, Trent Williams?
It's an issue. There's no question about it. And as Patrick Mahomes eloquently said yesterday, he goes, you know, I'm not underpaid. And he goes, I understand what's going on, and I also understand that because of my contract, we're able to bring in more guys to help support me in our quest to win another Super Bowl. He was very matter-of-fact about it and really professional about it. But I got to believe that somewhere along the line here, if it's not this year, it's got to be before next year starts, where they're going to have to rip his contract up, and they are going to have to pay him as what he is, and that is the most important player in the NFL.
Yeah, and there's no doubt about it, and I'm sure that there's not going to be a single person that barks at that number, whatever it may be.
It may be $75 million a year.
Yeah,
if it's
we're
not
trending
100.
In that direction, aren't we?
All I know is that the NFL is going to opt out of their current media contracts when they can, probably the 28th season, I think, or right after the 27th season, some in that area. And they're going to reopen it, and it is going to be, it's going to blow us away. It's going to blow us away what they're going to get. And good for them. And the players are going to benefit from it. And I think that when you are Patrick Mahomes' representatives, you have to take all of that into account. And because whatever the number is that the NFL ends up settling on, now just amps up the franchise values. And why are they up, and why is Kansas City so, you know, worth so much money? It's because of that quarterback.
Of course. and the fact that he wins a lot.
And they're trying to get, I guess they're trying to get some money to, I don't think they want to rebuild Arrowhead. I think they, there are some things that they want to do to try to make it better and bring it into the world of updated stadiums. But I don't necessarily know that all that political will out there is going to get it done unless they continue to keep winning.
I think there's any talk of, I know it's only been here for 12 years, I guess. But, I mean, is there any talk about something better than MetLife Stadium around here? I mean,
no,
I know the Jets.
No.
I know the Jets would love to get out and have a stadium somewhere else. But that feels like that's deep in the distance.
You know what's amazing to me is that the Jets wanted to have that Westside Stadium. It was because of that crook Sheldon Silver that they couldn't get it done.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was bought and paid for by MSG, who didn't want it.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that Stephen Ross, the owner of the Dolphins, who has related properties, I think he would love to build a new Madison Square Garden right over that train yard over there and say to Jim Dolan, I'll build you a new stadium. But I don't necessarily know that there's political will in the city of New York or in the state to help Jim Dolan in any way.
Probably not. But, man, that would be great. A new garden with a sphere top. Wouldn't that be something?
If you put that on the West Side Highway and you were able to do something that was really unique and New York-esque, and maybe it was a sphere top and it's making money when nobody's in there because it becomes an advertisement all into itself.
Yeah.
Right there. You know, not so that's on the outside or the west side of New York City where people can see it.
Yeah.
You know, the garden where it is now, it's building locked. Like, nobody sees it unless you get up and you get close to it. And it's a beautiful building for sure. But, man, I can't even imagine what, if you had a something that looked like the sphere over there on the west side right there, Hudson Yards, that would be incredible.
Yeah, it would. Maybe we see it at some point in our lifetime. Who knows? Be special when the Knicks celebrate a championship. And you see New York Knicks, NBA champions on a West Side Sphere.
Just got to make sure that they got that $20 million tax abatement.
Yeah. So anyway, back to the Giants. You know, ending the way that it ended, you know, HBO and Max and the Hard Knocks stuff, they could convince you that every team is going to be the greatest team in the world with the way that they produce these things.
They do a great job, yeah.
I mean, I finished watching that. I was like, you know, maybe the Giants aren't going to be as bad as I think. But we all know their issues and you know, if Malik Nabers bursts onto the scene and has one of these rookie seasons like we saw from Justin Jefferson or Ja'Marr Chase, I mean, that's going to be that changes the entire complexion of the Giants and their offense.
Do you know how many plays he's going to have an opportunity to make and what those plays end up doing to your offense?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and it's not just the physical gifts that he has in terms of making the catch and the run after the catch and the release point at the line of scrimmage. It's the penalties that he's going to create that are part of all of this. The interference, the holding, the illegal contact penalties.
Yeah, I mean, and they have not had someone like that at the wide receiver position since Odell Beckham Jr. We know that. And that, yes, I mean, he's got that potential to take over games.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting. Walking with a guy on a golf course the other day was talking to me. He goes, you know, what's the biggest difference between when you played and when they play now? I said, well, it's all these penalties that tend to happen, especially on third down and fourth down, where the offense benefits from either a roughing the passer, defensive holding, illegal contact, pass interference.
Yeah,
and all of those penalties, you know, are there for, well, at least the roughing the passer penalty is there supposedly because of safety, because they don't want to lose the quarterbacks, you know, because those are the people that everybody wants to see. But it's really to promote offense and to promote scoring.
Oh, yeah.
And all the rules are completely different. And it was interesting talking to Phil Simms yesterday.
Again?
He was shooting commercial.
You talked to him again?
Love the guy. Love talking.
Jesus.
He's an app.
It's a lot of Phil Simms in
Yeah, I know. I can't help it.
Week.
I can't get enough of it.
Yeah.
So he was shooting a commercial for somebody who puts gel shots in your knees because he had bad knees.
Yeah.
And he goes, and the reason he has bad knees is he thanks Joe Klecko because Joe Klecko dove at his knees.
Yeah.
It's like John Randall was diving at my knees.
Hall of Famer John Randall?
Hall of Famer Joe Klecko.
Yeah, well.
Those guys used to dive at our knees because
that's right, because
it was in the rules.
Those are whatever it takes, guys.
So I told Phil, I said, in a weird way, Joe Klecko got you a new commercial.
Yeah, that's right. So he's got to give Joe a cut?
Well, he should have said something in the commercial. Like, I wouldn't have these mangled knees if I didn't play against Joe Klecko.
Yeah.
And play in that crappy field.
Well, that's why he's got to cut Klecko a check, in my opinion.
No, I don't. Well, I mean, I would have invoked the name because it would have given me some real credibility.
Sure. Right. Absolutely. Hall of Famer Joe Klecko.
So, but anyway, I was telling the guy, I was like, that's the difference. The difference is they used to dive at our legs. They were allowed to do that. They used to throw themselves on us and then slam us into the ground and putting extra weight on us as they were trying to force us to basically separate a shoulder, giving us a concussion, mm-hmm. holding downfield yeah. with the defensive backs.
That's right.
Much like Ty Law did with Marvin Harrison, and then they changed the rules after that playoff game.
That's right.
Because Peyton Manning was screaming and yelling about, you know, them getting away with it.
You need offense. You need the quarterbacks to shine.
And I said, that's the biggest difference. He goes, I said, you know, it's not whether or not we could play in today's game. It's whether or not today's player could play in yesteryear's game.
Yeah. And one more observation, too, with what I was watching last night with all those millions of people that are in the draft room and the war room as they're going over the draft. You know, after they make all the picks, and they stand around, they all applaud after the pick is made. I mean, the NFL draft is as big of a crapshoot as anything these days. I mean, some positions hit more than others. There's a lot of busts, but everybody sits there and they applaud. Haven't we got to a point where, like, we make the pick and they'd be like, they call the guy and be like, listen, don't screw up because my ass is on the line. Like, they're like, all right, we got him. We'll see what happens. But they're all like, yeah!
Well, the reason they stand up and applaud is because right now, at this moment, as
nothing
we're talking,
has gone wrong.
Right, that's right. And number two is that yes, they are practicing now, but that whole group of people that you don't see unless you watch that on Hard Knocks, those people are already working on next year's draft.
That's right,
and they're already watching film, already visiting places because college football is getting ready to get started, and it is a year-long process. So for every general manager and their scouting department, that's truly their Super Bowl. I mean, that's it. That's the hard
draft,
work,
yeah.
putting all the time and effort in and getting the players that you think are going to fit what the general manager and the coach want.
Yeah, and boy, they have a lot of people in there scouting.
I mean, I know you need a lot of people because there's so many football players out there and there's so many things you got to go through. But, I mean, my God.
I mean, we never go back and watch those phone calls for the busts. We should do that. Can you find the Zach Wilson phone call? I want to find that one and go back to the exuberation. I'm having a tough time with words this morning. And when they selected Zach Wilson number two overall there with the Jets.
How about when
the clapping? That's
a true bust. I mean, you can go back and do it with Mark Sanchez. You could do it with Sam Darnold.
Let's go ahead and play. There's no way they're not going to be cursing in that thing, right?
Joe, how you doing?
Oh, I'm good, man. I'm good. When did you start playing football?
7 years old.
7 years old. Just remember, man, have fun. This is still that same game you started playing when you were 7 years old.
Yes, sir. I'm going to give you guys everything I got.
I know you are.
Coach.
What's up, man?
What's up?
Hey, bro. Congratulations, man. It's freaking awesome.
Thanks, Coach.
Hey.
I'm pumped.
You didn't know how exciting this is, man. I'm pumped for you. I'm pumped for your family. The biggest thing I want to tell you, just remember this. This organization is going to lift you, not the other way around. You feel me?
This yes,
is all
sir.
About just enjoy this day. What a freaking moment. What a freaking moment. It's going to be all gas yes, from here on out. You feel me?
Yes, sir.
How you doing? Congratulations. I think I probably
thank
know
you.
More about you than I know about my own kids.
That's but, Woody.
Yeah, we're so happy.
Good thing.
We're so happy to have you. You're going to love it here. And I can't wait to see you.
By the way, everybody was wearing masks because it was during the COVID time, of course, as Fleegs is telling me. But, oh, how great is that? He goes, you know, how long have you been playing football? Since I was 7 years old. Well, you know, you have that same excitement as you did when you were seven. You also played like he was 7 years old.
Well, you know.
Hey, man, it's Coach Rob Saleh. This organization is going to lift you more than you're going to lift us.
Technically true. 1 out of 100 versus 0 out of 100.
Oh, God. It was just so funny. Everybody's so fired. We made the right decision. This is it.
Yeah.
I mean, I just... Give me a war room and like, hey, we did the best we could. We'll see what happens. You know? Like, enough with the clapping. in the shaking of the hands. You have no idea what the hell's going to happen.
You know, my phone call with Sam Weiss didn't go like quite like that.
He actually called you?
Yeah, he called me.
I'm surprised, being a second-round pick.
Right, he called me and goes, hey, Boomer, you want to be a Bengal? And I'm like, God damn, I thought you forgot about me. He goes, No, you're on our board, man. We want you. We're going to take you with the next pick, like, which was pick 38 or something. And I was like, thank God. That was it.
Yeah. And one of the guys, I forget who it was, maybe it was the tight end that the Giants drafted. He's like, how you doing? He's like, a lot better now, coach. Because he was sitting around, he was in the fourth round.
Yeah, and, yeah.
You know, it's not easy when you think you're going to be picked ahead of when you actually are picked, I'm sure, as you're sliding and sliding and sliding and wondering what the hell's going on.
See, that guy whiffing.
What's that?
The guy whiffing from Ireland won a gold medal. He beat Fink.
Whiffin beat Fink?
Yeah, Whiffin beat Fink.
Fink was the American, right?
He was, and he was the favorite to win. They had his sister on last night as he was swimming. I think it was the 1800 or whatever. Man, he was in a pool for a long time. 800.
Okay, 1800.
I mean, I don't know.
1800 is the last time an Irish swimmer won anything.
How about that?
Yeah, I got into the Olympics a little bit yesterday. I got to be honest with you, because I wanted to see the women's gymnastics. And I guess the men medaled in gymnastics for the first time in a very long time, too. So good for the... You never hear about the USA men's gymnastics.
Well, you used to hear about it.
When?
You used to.
When? Like when you were growing up?
I'm just trying to think of the guys' names. There are a bunch of guys. You know, I can't believe we're even talking about men's gymnastics. I think they're unbelievable. They're exciting. Yeah. It's fun to watch.
That pommel horse guy with the glasses.
Yeah, the pommel horse guy. That's the pommel horse guy. We used to have a pommel horse guy back in the day, too. I forget who it was. We have a number of famous men's gymnasts. We've had the Mary Lou Rettons of the world.
That's not a man. If I put most famous U.S. men's gymnast, you think you're going to know who that is if I say the name?
Oh, my God. Yes, 100%. 100%.
All right. Okay.
I remember a guy had huge shoulders, and he was a pommel horse guy, too.
He was a pommel
horse. Chaz Jism.
No.
Stop with that.
All right. You got to be honest with me.
I will, 100%. I want to say, hold on, before you even say it.
Because I've never heard of the top five USA male gymnasts of all time. I've never heard of any of them.
I've heard of all these guys. I know it. I know it for a fact.
You heard of any of these people? Because
not one.
Yeah, not.
All right, so give them to me.
Well, no. See if you can find it, Mister. I think people used to talk about USA men's gymnasts. Let me hear it.
McLaughlin is. Yeah, 100% McLaughlin
is. McLaughlin
is
the
McGonagall. He was not a gymnast, believe me. More of a bowling ball.
If I said the name Ted Spring.
No, I don't know that name.
Okay, good, because I just made it up. Just wanted to see if I threw something out there. Be like, I knew that.
No, I don't know that name. So you tried to trick me.
I did, because I just figured you were just going to...
No.
There is one guy named Justin Spring. The fourth...
Is he really?
Most famous.
I don't know Justin. I'm sorry, I don't. But who is the number one guy?
Paul Hamm.
Yes, I know who that is. Who's number two? I'm trying to figure. I'm
Bart Connor.
Yes, Bart Connor. Yeah, because you know why he became an analyst?
Did he?
Yeah, he's a short little guy with blonde hair.
Okay. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, Bart Connor, yeah.
Of course, Bart Connor.
Yes.
And Martin's in here. He has a name he's surprised is not on this list. Tim Daggett.
Dang it, that's the guy I was thinking about.
See, I don't know Tim. I don't know.
I want to say that he was...
We've had a miserable history.
I want to say the parallel bar guy or the pommel horse guy, Daggett.
Yeah, I don't know any of these guys.
Don't you remember, I don't know if they still do it in gym class. Don't you remember you used to do gymnastics in gym class?
I don't think we
had the high bar. No. We had the parallel bars. We had the horse.
Yeah, the pommel. You were pommel horsing, and
I couldn't pommel horse because you know something got in the way.
It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
Good thing that swimmer didn't pommel horse.
You know, it's funny. I wanted to find the picture that Jerry was talking about with the swimmer with the big package.
Yeah.
So I Google swimmer penis.
Yes.
And it's just all stories about Leah Thomas. I couldn't find it. I'm not even trying to be funny.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
Well, his name was Mitch Gaylord. He won gold. The American men won gold in 1984, the Olympics.
Okay, I was two. That's why I wasn't familiar with
right,
guys.
So Mitch Gaylord is my age.
Okay.
And I believe that was also... Did the Russians boycott that?
Did the Russians boycott the 84 Olympics?
Right, and when it, like, the Russians aren't involved in this Olympics.
No, they're not. They're banned for the PED stuff, right?
Well, they're banned because they're in a war right now.
I thought it was also the PED.
But I also believe that, you know, invading Ukraine had something to do with this.
Oh, did it? That would make sense.
Well, you're not allowed to show up if you're invading another country.
That's true. It's fair. You could understand why they'd be frozen out in that spot.
So, I mean, like, they are usually very talented in the Summer Olympics.
Hmm. Wasn't that Ben Stiller's name in the movie? Gaylord Fokker?
Yes.
He was a Gaylord.
Yeah, but this is Mitch Gaylord.
This is Mitch Gaylord.
Got it.
Hmm. So these guys are hammering me with Russian Olympic facts in my ear. So, 1984, the Russians did not participate.
Right.
So you're right about that.
Yes.
And then Zoo is telling me there's a couple of Russian tennis players that are participating.
Yes, they're in the mix.
How are they allowed?
They're competing under no banner, under no flag.
Okay.
The IOC banner.
The IOC banner. Okay. Well, there you go.
I thought the Olympics was supposed to be about country, though.
Well, it is, unless you invade another one.
But how? Okay.
So what happens if they win?
Right.
What song do they play?
No, they don't.
This land is your land. This land is my land.
Oh.
Yeah. Did you know any of those famous male gymnasts we were talking about, Jerry? Because I never heard of any of them.
No.
Mitch Gaylord, Paul Hamm.
Bart Connor. You know Bart Connor.
Bart Connor.
No, I don't.
What was that other guy? Tippett? Snippet?
Nope. Daggett, was it?
Daggett?
Nope.
Daggett?
I'm not the person to go to for Olympic knowledge. I have none.
Yeah, but I mean, I bet you could name some female gymnasts.
Mary Lou Retton.
Yeah.
That's it. Well, but she, yeah.
She became
a household name, though.
But Simone Biles, he's got something on his computer. It's funny. Simone Biles, obviously.
Yeah, but again, kind of transcended the sport, became bigger than the sport.
Oh, that was my point.
Right, none of the names she gave me were bigger than the sport.
Right, I mean, but we've got a rich history in female gymnastics, and we kind of stink in male gymnastics, is basically what I'm saying. But they did medal this year.
They don't stink.
They stink.
Harsh.
I mean, they compared to what the women do.
That's the problem.
We're going to sit here and say in judgment of a guy that's on the rings of the parallel bars. Are you kidding?
But why is that any different than we kill professional players everywhere?
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm. I'm sure when you were 3 and 13, we were killing you.
I'm not killing athletes who spend their whole life. And
see, you're looking at it killing them. What I'm doing is propping up the women. That's what I'm doing. I'm saying this is how great U.S. women gymnastics have been.
Right, he was doing by comparison.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you always look at the glass half empty.
No, I don't.
I'm talking about the greatness of the U.S. women's
gymnastics. Yeah, but you used the word stink when it came to men.
In comparison to the women.
But I'm not going to say anybody stinks when they put so much into this particular moment. And by the way, this is just one moment of their careers. There's world championships, there's national championships, there's all sorts of things that they have to go through before they get there.
Yeah.
And you got to appreciate the journey and respect
the
journey.
What about the journey of baseball players and football players? Yet we say they stink all the time.
They get paid a gazillion dollars.
So what?
Different story.
They're still working their ass off, and they're still
they're getting paid so much money, and baseball players, basketball players have guaranteed contracts for hundreds of millions.
So it is
dollars.
About the money.
In a lot of ways, it is, yes. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to come to New York and you're going to accept, like, if you're Tua Tagovailoa and you're going to get $55 million a year, guess what's coming along with that? If you're Daniel Jones and you're going to get $82 million guaranteed, what's coming along with that?
He stinks!
Expectations.
Mm.
And those expectations are—it's the pressure and the ability to deal with that anxiety and pressure. And these kids that end up doing these particular sports, now they're finally getting paid for it. And they're in every commercial, by the way.
Listen, all I'm trying to say is U.S. women.
Yes.
Did an amazing job.
And don't say the men stink.
Well, in comparison.
You said they stink.
In comparison
that's
to what we've done.
That's what you said.
And that's
what I'm reacting to, the word stink.
Over the years.
If you don't say stink, we don't have a problem.
I mean, we need to hear these guys.
I know these guys.
You don't know those guys.
I know these guys.
You don't know. So you have, what do you got over there? A list of male gymnasts?
The seven greatest rings male gymnasts of all time. And number seven is Dong.
Number seven, Dong Zhen.
Right, he's Chinese.
All right.
Did you see the photos of Victor Wembanyama against the Japanese team?
Yes.
Amazing.
Yeah, Japan almost beat them.
Well, whatever. I'm talking about the photos.
I think they had to come back and...
I mean, he towered over these guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, one guy, well, he was like 5'6", the one picture. I don't know how he played basketball at 5'6". All right. Very good. Jerry, what else do we have?
Brought to you by the Farmer's Dog. Fresh, human-grade dog food delivered right to your door. And by Jackpocket, order official state lottery games on
Who's
your
the
phone.
Guy that had the flair? There was a guy that had flair in men's gymnast.
Flair?
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
There was he had a flair on the pommel horse. What the hell was his name?
On the what? The pommel horse? You don't know the pommel horse?
I don't.
The horse.
It's
worth
I mean, the thing you over and
yeah.
Okay, I never recall what it was called.
All right, you do that. I will check to see if I can find.
You search your horses. Flag. Yep. So prior to the game, we got word that Gerrit Cole wasn't going to start yesterday.
Thomas.
Okay.
Boom.
The Nick.
No.
No.
He was great on the pommel horse.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm talking about. Even Zoo knows. Could you imagine Zoo? Could you do the pommel?
Back in a younger day, I used to be oof.
I mean, he does. He moves like an athlete. He does.
He's got good feet.
He does.
He can dance.
He can dance.
I'm nimble. I'm like a panda.
How big are your feet?
I'm a size 12.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, not terrible. Not terrible. No. Listen.
But yeah, okay. You're not that tall for size 12.
You know.
I have a 12.
So do I. 12s. Well, 12s all around.
Hey, you know what they say.
You could say, all right, we understand.
I rode the mechanical bull in New Orleans.
Oh, did you?
I did do
How
that.
How long did you stay on that?
About 3 seconds.
Yeah, it's tough.
Once they got going?
Yeah, forget about it. Yeah,
right. Gone.
Is that when we went down there for the Monday night game?
Yes, I believe it was. Yeah. If not, it was the Super Bowl week.
Oh.
I don't remember. I just remember a lot of drinks and what seemed like a good idea at the time wasn't.
All right, so Gerrit Cole,
that news comes out. He's not going to make the start. And you've got a big Yankee fan, of course, in the afternoon, and Sean Morash. And as he got word, he got emotional, as you would say.
Can anything just go right in this town ever? Ever, man?
Things are going pretty well in Queens.
No, not for a World Series fan. We're just dying for a freaking parade in this town. And this has to happen now on a day like this. We're having good vibes. I can't take it anymore.
Are you going
to
cry?
Jesus. As it turned out, he didn't start. Will Warren actually pitched well. He gave up a few runs, but did a nice job. But in the end, in extra innings, the Yankees do get the go-ahead run and the win, and almost the slip-up, but not quite.
Swung on and hit in the air to medium deep center field. Rojas makes the catch. Here comes Wells. Here comes the throw. It's cut off. They're going to throw to second, and they get Jazz, who tried to get to second. The run scores on a sac fly. The first baseman, Harper, cut off the throw. Chisholm trying to get to second. He is thrown out.
Almost.
They stop mid-jism.
I mean, this is truly
it's
incredible.
In your head.
It is truly incredible how many people have made this jism mistake.
I'm sure I have in the past, too, when he was with the Marlins.
We would have remembered.
You
No doubt.
Guaranteed.
No doubt.
I mean, but it's such a unique name, and everybody's making the same mistake.
Right.
And the mistake they're making is jism.
Correct.
I mean, it's one of the great, like, slip-up name things of all time.
And it starts by calling him Chaz.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
Yeah, but it's not. I mean, but Jazz is a word.
Not
that
a
we
name.
Use.
It's really not a name, though. Yeah, but then what? But then why call him Chaz Chisholm? Why do you have to put the J? Right?
I don't know.
You flipped the whole thing over.
Right, if you would have called him Michael Chisholm, it flows a lot easier.
Yeah!
I know.
I mean, it just shows you're all sick in the head.
I think what you'll have to do if you are doing the games, you just got to go by the last name.
So I listen to a lot of this trying to find that.
Yes.
He just calls him Jazz a lot.
Yeah, all right, that's fine too. I mean, again, there are guys
Ricky
like
Ricardo's you. Just flat out with Jizz.
He did.
Jazz Jizzle.
He did. That is true.
It's incredible.
Yeah, I know. And then so they win 7-6. Crazy how we can always manipulate audio as you will. So I'll play something and then I'll explain it.
I just figured out what I'm giving Emmanuel Barbari for his birthday.
What, am I hand?
What the hell is going on?
Like I said, you can manipulate the audio and isolate and put bleeps in where they're really not needed.
Yeah.
But when you do, it sounds funny. Or you can just isolate.
You're giving Emmanuel a facial?
There. So then you
want to add insult to injury and Ricky gets the job.
Go over here, young man.
Chaz Chisholm.
So then you play
adios, amigos.
You gotta be kidding me.
But then you play it in its full context.
Get massage and facial gift cards at their lowest prices of the year. I just figured out what I'm giving Emmanuel Barbari for his birthday.
What, a hand massage?
Facial. How about that?
You're giving Emmanuel a facial? Yeah. What does he need a facial for? He's 25 years old.
Well, on second thought.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. The good old Yankee radio booth. Yes.
Oh, I can't wait till next week.
That's right. Yankees, Phillies today, 12:35. Oh. As for the Mets, they did shut out the Twins 2-0. They did acquire pitchers Paul Blackburn, Oscar Brazoban, and Tyler Zuber at the deadline. Now, there were other trades made, and we've talked a lot about the White Sox and how crappy they are. Mm. We talked about Eloy Jimenez. Remember, yes. Ozzie Guillen had enough of him the other day. So on NBC Sports Chicago, they are finding out about trades as they are happening. And I don't know the analyst's name, but I will just play this 17 seconds for you.
Hold on.
Eloy!
No way.
That is not real. I said this, if this happened on the podcast.
Come on. Jeff Passan reporting that the Baltimore Orioles are finalizing a deal to acquire outfielder.
He's been getting it in the air. He's been getting it in the air.
Sources tell ESPN. Are you kidding me?
So if you're not sure, they're excited, so much so.
This is a joyous day. This is a joyous day. I've talked to you guys. Know where I sit with Eloy. He's a bit. That guy is as catastrophic of a failure as any player that's come through the rebuild.
Yeah. I mean, he's been. I mean, considering.
I can't believe a team would take him on. Can we get a thank you Orioles graphic made?
They hate this guy. And wow. Then the last one.
White Sox dump outfielder Eloy Jimenez's contract. That, sending him to the Orioles.
I like.
You like the dump?
Dump his contract.
So basically, he may not get anything in return. You guys pay the rest of your salary.
He dumped on us for 6 years. We guys, come on.
So he's gone, and they're very
have a good time. Bye.
He is gone. Yes. So he was traded to Baltimore. Also of note, you had Rob Saleh saying Aaron Rodgers definitely won't play in the first two preseason games, maybe the third one. The Bears give DJ Moore a four-year extension, $110 million. The Knicks signing Precious Achiuwa to a one-year contract for $6 million. And you got the U.S. basketball team playing South Sudan today. This is a 3 p.m. tip-off coming up later. And you guys were talking about it earlier, the U.S. women's gymnastics team winning gold. And I think, was it the women's team or the men's team, a bronze medal in the rugby?
Rugby sevens.
How about that?
So what happened is the girl on, USA, she ran 92 yards with the last play of the game, and they won the bronze medal.
How about that?
Over a heavily favored Australia team.
Pretty cool.
Yes.
And so there you go.
Thank you, Jerry.
Right on.
It's Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Built Ford Tough Studio.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
Gio on the Fan and the free Odyssey app. We'll be joined by CBS Sports Network once again at 9 a.m. You know, I had one of these life dad moments yesterday. It was very tough to explain to Sabrina what was going on, but it was real life. As we were outside, and she loves putting. She loves golf. So we got this little like putting mat outside for her, and we were enjoying that together. And then I see Elvis, my dog, at the door, and I say, "All right, let me let him out." Standing at the door, he must want to go to the bathroom. Well, it's not what he wanted to do. He saw a bird that was sitting, you know, not just on the ground, just like sitting on the ground. Little gray bird. Looked like it only been alive for maybe a week or so. It had feathers, but it was just baby bird.
Maybe it fell out of the nest?
Maybe. But it was not like like a really like bah, bah, baby bird. You know, it was like you could tell it was just
maybe a couple weeks old.
Yeah, it had its feathers. Maybe it hadn't learned to fly yet, type of bird.
Or maybe tried to learn to fly and then came down and hit its head or something.
Yeah. So it's just sitting there next to a bush, and Elvis bolts into his 40 time and goes over to this bird and takes the bird into his mouth. Sabrina, watching this in horror, "He's got the bird! Daddy's got the bird! Oh, my God! Go! No!" So I go up to Elvis, drop it. Drop it. And he, you know, to his credit, he did. Mm. And the bird's just sitting there, stunned. So now I get Elvis back inside. And Sabrina is just going through every scenario. Is the bird hurt? Can it fly? Where are the bird's mommy and daddy? What can we do? Can we take the bird to the vet? And I'm sitting there explaining to her. Now, tell me if I did the right thing here.
Okay.
I said, "This is nature, honey. This is not a pet, this bird. There's nothing we can really do about it."
You know what you needed to do? And this is what you can do with today's kids. Take her back into the house to the computer. Pull up a YouTube vid of a leopard ripping apart a jackal or whatever and saying, "This is nature. This is what Elvis is bred to do."
Yeah.
Just show how nature, and just don't keep it from her. You know, you just got to let her see it.
I didn't keep it from her. Right. I don't know if showing the six-year-old, a lion ripping apart a zebra, she's really maybe not ready for that at this point. But I explained to her, I said, "Listen, this is nature. This is what happened. What we did was we got the bird out of Elvis's mouth."
Yep.
"And we put Elvis inside, mm-hmm. and we've done our duty now." That's it.
You can show her how a python would wrap up a deer and squeeze the life out of a deer and then swallow the whole thing whole.
Would you show that?
This is nature.
Would you show that to Winnie Doo-Doo? Would you go over there?
I had to, but you know, I went through the same thing. We had a Bichla. Her name was Billy.
Yeah.
We'd let her out in the backyard, and she would always come back either with a squirrel, a bird, or something, and Sydney'd be like, "Oh," and I'm like, "Hey, listen, man, that's what the dogs does.
It's going to end for everyone at some point."
Right.
Come to grips with it.
Yep. So, but she, you know, it was making me upset to, you know, she said, "Well, you know, there were other birds that were chirping." And she's like, "Maybe that's the bird's mommy and daddy, and they're looking for the bird." And I'm like, you don't want to, like, she'll learn about all this stuff eventually, but you don't want to be the one that takes the innocence away from them at a young age, you know? And I'm like, "This bird mommy and daddy, they have no, they're all stupid. They don't know what's going on."
You ever see, like, when you have, whether it be could be a zebra, could be one of gazelles, whatever the hell those things are called, and they're drinking water, and then the alligator or the crocodile comes out.
Yeah. Right.
That's nature.
Somewhere, someone's dying right now.
Yeah. Right, and I am aware of all of that.
It's got to eat.
Right, I was aware of all of that. And she gave Elvis a talking to. She goes, "Elvis, that was bad. You leave those birdies alone." And I said, "Listen, he's just, it's instinctive. It's what I said. It's his instincts. He's not a human. He's a dog.
Now, he's domesticated. Now the bird is not."
Right, exactly. But I mean, what I couldn't understand is, one, like, why this bird, I mean, I guess it hadn't learned how to fly yet, but it didn't even run away. Like, it just sat there, and Elvis just went, "I don't."
Well, the bird hasn't been around long enough to get its own instincts in order.
I mean, I guess.
You know, it's like a baby.
And then, Elvis is carrying the thing. Like, he doesn't just eat the bird. He just carries it around in his mouth.
You know how you, I'm sure, tell Sabrina and Summer, and I'm sure Gina's the same way, don't touch that, don't do this, that's hot, don't cross the road, and when you, if you cross the road, you got to look both ways.
Yeah.
And you're trying to remind them as parents. That bird's parents hadn't done that yet.
Apparently not.
Right.
So then, you know, then Elvis, I say, drop it, and he does drop the bird, and the bird's just sitting there, still.
Bye-bye, birdie.
So I tried to pick up the bird to, like, get it out of the yard so Elvis could do his, you know, roam his land. And then the bird's like, bah! You know, got mad at me, fluttered its wings a little bit.
I was scared.
You know, I was like, I'm trying to help you, bird, for God's sakes. So that's when I just said, listen, Sabrina, we did what we could do. Let's just leave, let the world do what it's got to do with this bird. And we're out of this now.
Yep.
We're tapping out. So I think she kind of understood. But she was like, we got to tell mommy. Got to tell her. I'm like, all right, we'll tell her. Don't worry about it. You know, because there's some big secret that Elvis.
So I think at the end of the day, you did the right thing.
Yeah, I mean, well, teaching opportunity.
It was a moment.
Yeah, it was a teaching moment.
Moment in time where, but you also got to make her understand that this goes on.
Like, I did.
You can't hide that.
I did. I didn't hide it. I said this is nature.
Right.
And I didn't really want Elvis to eat the bird, not because I was worried about the bird as much as who knows, you know, with the bird flu, disgusting. You know, I don't need him to eat these random birds.
No, because then he gets
gross.
Sick.
Yeah. So like whatever. But I feel like we did the right thing. Kenny's down in Fort Myers. He wants to talk some Jazz Chisholm. What's going on, Kenny?
Yes, I sure do. How are we doing, gentlemen? Good morning.
Good morning. What do you got for us?
Excellent. Boomer, I'm a 35-year-old Jet fan. I was wearing your jersey in kindergarten, first grade. Love you. It's an honor.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Kenny, what do you got for us?
You're the man. So in the movie American Wedding, Jim was coming home. He had just been engaged, and there was a cake for, you know, his parents were throwing the party, and the cake said, "Congratulations, Jim." Stifler went in the room and switched the candles to say, "Congratulations, Jism." So my friend and I from up north, we just keep texting all the time, "Jazz Chisholm, this is Chisholm." So last night, I'm like, Chisholm did it again. He had a second home run. He earned his nickname. So that I just want to let you know, that's where I believe the origination of Chisholm came from American Wedding. Stifler is responsible for that.
Stifler. No, Chisholm. You know, Kenny, I believe that the term Chisholm was around long before American Wedding. And I just, there's something about those, like Chaz, people want to say Chaz, and then they take the J from Jazz and they put it in front of Chisholm and you get Chisholm. For whatever reason, the human brain for these play-by-play guys is just doing that automatically. All
Jazz,
of them.
Chisholm.
Just everybody's doing it. And, I mean, even Eddie Coleman, Chisholm scores. I mean, he didn't even say Chaz. He just said Chisholm scores. So whatever it is, our brains... They default to Chisholm before they do Chisholm. Now, I haven't done it yet in any way that wasn't a joke. I may, but it's now in everybody's head.
And especially that we're going to be talking about him every day, especially with him being as involved as he has been over the last three games.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about what he has done to this team, he has been the spark that has ignited the Yankees.
Yeah. I mean, good thing his last name is something like Chisholm and not like Bunt. You know? Carlos Bunt. People switching that around. It'd be really bad. Be dumping things all over the place. I mean, we could sit here and make a mistake and say Chisholm, but...
Yeah, well, that's like, why they have dump buttons.
Right.
Like, I mean, you Dave, know, it is what it is.
Like, Chris Doc.
Yes.
That would be a bad one, too.
Mm-hmm.
Fred Ruck.
Yeah, Fred Ruck. That'd be a bad one. All right, it's Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
Boomer and
Gio on the Fan and the free Odyssey app. Will be joined by CBS Sports Network once again at 9 a.m. You know, I had one of these life dad moments yesterday. It was very tough to explain to Sabrina what was going on, but it was real life as we were outside, and she loves putting. She loves golf. So we got this little like putting mat outside for her, and we were enjoying that together. And then I see Elvis, my dog, at the door, and I say, "All right, let me let him out." Standing at the door, he must want to go to the bathroom. Well, it's not what he wanted to do. He saw a bird that was sitting, you know, not just on the ground, just like sitting on the ground. Little gray bird, looked like it only been alive for maybe a week or so, had feathers, but it was just baby bird.
Maybe it fell out of the nest?
Maybe. But it was not like a really like, bah, bah, baby bird. You know, it was like you could tell it was just...
maybe a couple weeks old.
Yeah, it had its feathers, maybe it hadn't learned to fly yet, type of bird.
Or maybe tried to learn to fly and then came down, hit its head or something.
Yeah. So it's just sitting there next to a bush, and Elvis bolts into his 40 time. And goes over to this bird and takes the bird into his mouth. Sabrina, watching this in horror, "He's got the bird! Daddy's got the bird! Oh my God, go, no!" So I go up to Elvis, drop it, and to his credit, he did. Mm. And the bird's just sitting there, stunned. So now I get Elvis back inside, and Sabrina is just going through every scenario. Is the bird hurt? Can it fly? Where are the bird's mommy and daddy? What can we do? Can we take the bird to the vet? And I'm sitting there explaining to her. Now, tell me if I did the right thing here.
Okay.
I said, "This is nature, honey. This is not a pet, this bird. There's nothing we can really do about it."
You know what you needed to do? And this is what you can do with today's kids. Take her back into the house to the computer. Pull up a YouTube vid of a leopard ripping apart a jackal or whatever and saying, "This is nature. This is what Elvis is bred to do."
Yeah.
You show how nature, and just don't keep it from her. You know, you just got to let her see it.
I didn't keep it from her. Right. I don't know if showing the six-year-old, a lion ripping apart a zebra, she's really maybe not ready for that at this point. But I explained to her, I said, "Listen, this is nature. This is what happened. What we did was... we got the bird out of Elvis's mouth."
Yep.
"And we put Elvis inside." Mm-hmm. "And we've done our duty now. That's
it." You can show her how a python would wrap up a deer and squeeze the life out of a deer and then swallow the whole thing whole.
Would you show that?
His nature.
Would you show that to Winnie Doodoo? Would you go
if
there?
I had to, but I went through the same thing. We had a Vishla. Her name was Billy.
Yeah.
We'd let her out in the backyard, and she would always come back either with a squirrel, a bird, or something, and Sydney be like, "Oh," and I'm like, "Hey, listen, man, that's what the dogs does.
It's going to end for everyone at some point."
Right.
Come to grips with it.
Yep. So, but she, it was making me upset to, she said, "Well, there were other birds that were chirping," and she's like, "Maybe that's the bird's mommy and daddy, and they're looking for the bird." And I'm like, you don't want to, she'll learn about all this stuff eventually, but you don't want to be the one that takes the innocence away from them at a young age, And I'm like, "This bird mommy and daddy, they're all stupid. They don't know what's going on."
Do you ever see, when you have, whether it be could be a zebra, could be one of gazelles, whatever the hell those things are called, and they're drinking water, and then the alligator or the crocodile comes out.
Yeah. Right.
That's nature.
Somewhere, someone's dying right now.
Yeah. Right, and I am aware of all of that.
It's got to eat.
Right, I was aware of all of that. And she gave Elvis a talking to. She goes, "Elvis, that was bad. You leave those birdies alone." And I said, "Listen, he's just, it's instinctive. It's what I said. It's his instincts. He's not a human. He's a dog.
Now, he's domesticated. Now the bird is not."
Right, exactly. But what I couldn't understand is, one, why this bird? I mean, I guess it hadn't learned how to fly yet, but it didn't even run away. Like, it just sat there, and Elvis just went,
Well, the bird hasn't been around long enough to get its own instincts in order.
I mean, I guess.
It's like a baby.
And then, Elvis is carrying the thing. Like, he doesn't just eat the bird. He just carries it around in his mouth.
You know how you, I'm sure, tell Sabrina and Summer, and I'm sure Gina's the same way, don't touch that, don't do this, that's hot, don't cross the road, and when you, if you cross the road, you got to look both ways.
Yeah.
And you're trying to remind them as parents. That bird's parents hadn't done that yet.
Apparently not.
Right.
So then, you know, then Elvis, I say, drop it, and he does drop the bird, and then the bird's just sitting there, still.
Bye-bye, birdie.
So I tried to pick up the bird to, like, get it out of the yard so Elvis could do his, you know, roam his land. And then the bird was like, bah! You know, got mad at me, fluttered its wings a little bit.
I was scared.
And I was like, I'm trying to help you, bird, for God's sakes. So that's when I just said, listen, Sabrina, we did what we could do. Let's just leave, let the world do what it's got to do with this bird. And we're out of this now.
Yep.
We're tapping out. So I think she kind of understood. But she was like, we got to tell mommy. Got to tell her. I'm like, all right, we'll tell her. Don't worry about it. You know, because there's some big secret that Elvis.
So I think at the end of the day, you did the right thing.
Yeah, I mean, it was a teaching opportunity.
It was a moment.
Yeah, it was a teaching moment.
Moment in time where, but you also got to make her understand that this goes on.
Like, I did.
You can't hide that.
I did. I didn't hide it. I said, this is nature.
Right.
And I didn't really want Elvis to eat the bird, not because I was worried about the bird as much as I, who knows, you know, with the bird flu, disgusting. You know, I don't need him eating these random birds.
No, because then he gets
gross.
Sick.
Yeah. So like whatever. But I feel like we did the right thing. Kenny's down in Fort Myers. He wants to talk some Jazz Chisholm. What's going on, Kenny?
Yes, I sure do. How are we doing, gentlemen? Good morning.
Good morning. What do you got for us?
Excellent. Boomer, I'm a 35-year-old Jet fan. I was wearing your jersey in kindergarten, first grade. Love you. It's an honor.
Thank you. Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that, Kenny. What do you got for us?
You're the man. So, in the movie American Wedding, Jim was coming home. He had just been engaged, and there was a cake for, you know, his parents were throwing the party, and the cake said, "Congratulations, Jim." Stifler went in the room and switched the candles to say, "Congratulations, Jism." So my friend and I from up north, we just keep texting all the time, Jazz Chisholm, this is Chisholm. So last night, I'm like, Chisholm did it again. He had a second home run. He earned his nickname. So that I just want to let you know, that's where I believe the origination of Chisholm came from American Wedding. Stifler is responsible for this.
Stifler. No. Chisholm. You know, Kenny, I believe that the term Chisholm was around long before American Wedding. And I just, there's something about those, like Chaz, people want to say Chaz, and then they take the J from Jazz and they put it in front of Chisholm and you get Chisholm. For whatever reason, the human brain for these play-by-play guys is just doing that automatically. All
Jazz, Chisholm.
Just everybody's doing it. And, I mean, even Eddie Coleman, Chisholm scores. I mean, he didn't even say Chaz. He just said Chisholm scores. So whatever it is, our brains... They default to Chisholm before they do Chisholm. Now, I haven't done it yet in any way that wasn't a joke. I may, but it's now in everybody's head.
And especially that we're going to be talking about him every day, especially with him being as involved as he has been over the last three games.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about what he has done to this team, he has been the spark that has ignited the Yankees.
Yeah. I mean, good thing his last name is something like Chisholm and not like Bunt. You know? Carlos Bunt. People switching that around. It'd be really bad. Be dumping things all over the place. I mean, we could sit here and make a mistake and say Chisholm, but...
Yeah, well, that's like, why they have dump buttons.
Right.
Like, I mean, you Dave, know, it is what it is.
Like, Chris Doc?
Yes.
That would be a bad one, too.
Mm-hmm.
Fred Ruck?
Yeah, Fred Ruck. That'd be a bad one. All right, it's Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.